Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The first professional sports league based in the United States that gets back to play is not going to be the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA. It's going to be the NWSL, Portland Thorns and Company. Christine Sinclair, part of the Thorns. Love having her on the show. It has been many years. I think she was at the University of Portland when we had her on last. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing all right.
How are you holding up amid all of this, aside from the sports thing? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm definitely an introvert type person, so it hasn't been too rough on me. The hardest part is just not being able to go up to Canada and see my family. I haven't seen them in months, which is difficult.
Yeah, I had that thought over the weekend. It was Father's Day, right? And I, you know, reached out to my dad and I was like, okay, I really hope I get a chance to see him again. Like, and I think there are a lot of people, we've seen some people who have parents who have passed, and it's sad to be detached a little bit, but I think we're getting a little more movement. How are you feeling with the soccer? You guys are going to get going with the Challenge Cup and you're going to be the first in the United States to get playing. You guys will be in Utah, kicked off on the 27th coming up. How comfortable are you with being on the field amid all of this?
I think we all still have some questions, and just it's hard not to have some hesitations and concerns, but at the same time, it is our job, and, you know, football is my life, and I'm excited to get back competing. I'm getting sick of just training, but first and foremost, you just care about everyone's health and safety. But I'm sure once we get going, the competitive juices will start flying and, yeah, we'll be ready to go.
I think a lot of people, just regular people are struggling with, you know, okay, I can't go to the gym or I can't stay fit. What have you been doing to stay in shape and what kind of training have you been doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, with the Thorns, we've been back in, like, full team training, I'd say, for the past, what is it, four weeks. And before that, we were cleared to do individual training for a couple weeks at the stadium. And then, before that, so March and April, it was just pretty much all on your own, trying to find places to work out and kick a ball around. You definitely had to get creative.
I think a lot of people, you know, remember you from your time at UP and, you know, have fond memories there, but did you expect that you would spend so much of your life from that decision on around Portland, enjoying sort of the soccer scene and, a city's love affair with soccer?
Obviously when I decided to attend UP, no, I had no idea, but there was a motto going around the team that, like, once you went to UP, you never left the city. And that's definitely stuck for me. The soccer culture here is incredible. I fell in love with the city. I have family here, which is nice. And then very fortunate, you know, to have the Thorns and the NWSL come about. And, yeah, as an allocated Canadian player, they asked me where I wanted to play, and this was the only city I said I would play in.
I love that. Why do you think it works in Portland? Because I tell people, I say, look, this is the greatest women's professional sports story on the planet. The Thorns, the way they draw, this doesn't happen anywhere else on Earth. Why does this work in Portland?
I don't know the history of the city and, you know, Soccer City USA, and I don't know how all that came about. I just know my time at UP and, like, the influence that Clive has had on the community here and the soccer community. And I think there's something to be said that, you know, there's basketball, and then really what else is there in Portland? People are, like, starving for professional sports. I mean, the Timbers obviously have always drawn massive crowds, even back in, like, the NASL days and things like that. And it's just carried over. It's a soccer-crazy city. The fans are extremely knowledgeable and passionate, and the type of fans that will support you through anything. But, I don't know exactly why it's Portland, why it's happened in Portland.
Christine Sinclair is our guest, Portland Thorns. Let's go back, like, 1993. You're 10 years old. Was there a match you could go see as a little girl and look up and see women competing at the highest level, or where did you draw inspiration?
Oh, gosh, no. So I was just that youngster that was obsessed with all sports. You know, my older brother and I just played everything and anything. I come from a very athletic family. Two of my uncles actually played for the Timbers, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, and there were no female professional sports on TV to watch. For me, the 99 Women's World Cup here in the U.S. sort of changed everything for me. Sort of, that was the first time where, you know, women's football was on TV and you could watch it and aspire to be those people. And I was fortunate to come down to Portland and watch a couple games. And I remember sitting in the stands where the Riveters and the Army sit now, watching a few games and being like, I'm playing in the next World Cup. I was 15 at the time, and it happened.
When you get to that World Cup, do you have a moment where you're on the field and you kind of look around and be like, all right, I made it here? Or is it all happening so fast that you got to concentrate on the game?
Yeah, I think for me it was more just the build-up, like being a part of that team and just, I mean, I was so young that you just think, oh, this is normal then, I guess. And we ended up finishing fourth in that World Cup. We lost to the U.S. in the bronze medal game. And I just remember thinking, this is easy. Like we weren't expected to do that well. And it was, like, shocking. I'm like, oh, this will happen all the time. I think for me the biggest, like, moment, though, was, like, my first Olympic Games. Because when I was growing up, there wasn't a Women's World Cup, things like that, but there was the Olympics. And I had a dream ever since I was a youngster that I was going to be an Olympian. So that was pretty special to get to achieve that.
Portland Thorns star Christine Sinclair is our guest. The Thorns and other NWSL teams will be back in action. They'll be the first in the United States as a team sport to get back in action. And of course, there are people curious, Christine, that are going to watch and say, okay, what's going to happen here? What are you being told by the organizers of this event, the teams, as far as health care and precautions go? How in a bubble will you be?
I mean, we've pretty much been told we're going to be in lockdown. So we're staying in a hotel with a couple other teams, and we're not allowed to leave the hotel except for, like, training and games and testing. The Thorns organization has pretty much packed a couple trucks for us of entertainment and things to do while we're there. Because, like I said, for all of us, it's about health and safety first and foremost. There's not going to be a tournament if they can't guarantee our safety. But part of that is players following rules and knowing that mentally and emotionally the next month might be a little difficult just being in lockdown in Utah for a month, but it's the only way that there can be any sort of tournament for us.
What do you miss the most about pre-COVID life?
Like I said, I think the biggest thing for me is not being able to see my family. Because right now, if I was to go to Vancouver, I'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And it's my niece's 6th birthday today, and just, wow. Yeah, not being able to be there and just, I mean, obviously with my job, I probably wouldn't be there anyway, but knowing that I can't go, it's hard.
Christine Sinclair is our guest. You know, as we do research on you and I look into kind of, all right, what are your accomplishments? It becomes easy to talk about the championships and stuff. But one of the things that sticks out is you're the world's all-time leader for international goals scored, men or women. That's a big deal. Like, at what point of your life as a soccer player did you go, I'm pretty good? Like, were you 8 years old and going, you know what, I might play in the Olympics one day? Or when did the world open to you?
I mean, I think I always, knew I was pretty good, like, on the teams I played for and things like that as a kid. The first moment, I think I was 11 or 12, I was playing on a provincial team in British Columbia, and the head coach, he was the first one that told me, if you keep this up, you'll be on the national team at a young age. And for me, that was eye-opening. No one had ever said anything like that to me before. And I mean, I was so young. So that was probably 11 or 12 was the first time that sort of possibility, like, crept into my thinking.
Christine, you've talked about the testing in the bubble, and I still wonder, are there still questions for you guys, or once the games start, does that all kind of fall to the back and you just go, let's see what happens? Because some of this is, we've been on new ground several different times with this as places reopen and people get back to work, but I'm paying attention, I'm wearing a mask when I go into Subway to get a sandwich, I'm still kind of nervous for people in general, but I think a lot of people are looking at sports and going, okay, the athletes are going to kind of lead us back, like in a strange way. How nervous are you about getting back to play or maybe being in that bubble for that length of time?
I think it's just, for me, it comes down to trust. I have to trust that they're doing the right thing for us. I need to trust that there's going to be adequate testing. I mean, obviously it is a place. We wouldn't be going if it wasn't. But I think, especially being part of like full team training back in Portland, it's no longer just you. If I decide to go to Starbucks and grab a coffee, like, I need to be deliberate with what I decide to do, because now I'm not just affecting myself and my family. I'm affecting my teammates and the staff and their families. And now heading into this tournament, I need to be able to trust that all the other teams and all the other players are doing the same. We went live. We didn't have some questions about things we've seen. Players going out and things and posting things on social media definitely raises some questions especially for people that have been very diligent with what they've been doing. You just have to trust that everyone's doing the right thing, because it's only going to take one person or one or two people to bring, COVID into the village or our bubble, and the tournament's over. And that's the way it is, and people need to act that way with how they're going about their daily routines, well here in their home cities, but then when we get to Utah.
Yeah, you make a great point, and I kind of talked about that off the top of the show, that it's not just about me when I'm putting on a mask and I'm going anywhere. Like, I walked into the Subway, and there were five other customers in there, none of them had masks on, and I was annoyed with it. Because I was like, hey, I care about their health more than they care about my health. Is that just me being a curmudgeon, or do you agree with that?
No, I completely agree. I wear my mask as much as possible, just out of respect for the people around me, and I don't want anyone to get sick because of me. If I happen to get it, I don't know. Just, it seems like a simple concept to try and keep others safe, and if that means wearing a mask for a couple months or however long it ends up being, then so be it.
Our guest, Christine Sinclair of the Thorns. All right, before I cut you loose, have you binge watched anything? Can you give us a recommendation? I'm out of shows. I need something new.
You know, the one I think I've enjoyed the most during this has been Manhunt.
Okay.
Have you ever?
No. I'm looking it up now.
The first season was on the Unabomber. And then the second season was on the Atlanta Olympic bomber. And it is amazing. Kind of reminds you of like the American Crime Story, like the O.J. Simpson, something
yes.
like that.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yeah. So you like that true crime stuff?
Yeah. As long as it's not too creepy. Yeah.
All right. I wish you the best. Go kick butt with the thorns. Stay healthy. And, you know, are you saying that you're just swearing off Starbucks? Like nobody's going to Starbucks? Or if you go in, you're being super careful or you're using the drive-thru with a mask on?
So, like, I'm not going to lie. I was, like, a coffee out every day type person. And I've maybe gone, like, twice in the past however many months this has been. So I'm just trying to stay away from as many people as possible.
Appreciate you. Sinclair? Go do good things.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. There's Christine Sinclair of the Thorns. Our big splash is coming up. Really good stuff from Christine Sinclair. Especially on the discipline that athletes and teams are going to have if they're going to get back to playing. By the way, the Premier League coronavirus testing just out. 1,829 tests on players and club staff. Only one positive. So the Premier League has done what looks to be a good job of creating a bubble there. I'd like to know who that one person is, which club it is. Who's the one guy? Otherwise, it was perfect. There you have it. That brings us, of course, to our big splash. It's the one thing you need to know.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, decide for yourself if this is good news or bad news. I'm spinning it positive. Notre Dame announced today that it tested 91 athletes. Won't say the sport, but only one positive test for coronavirus. Wisconsin tested 117 athletes, not specified to football. Two positive tests. The stat majors out there will say, well, those are actually high numbers. But for me, I look at that and I say, that's pretty good. I expected much more. Now, at Iowa, 40 players tested in the past week, 9 positive tests, much higher. I'm curious to know what that means for the season. I have some people who are saying, well, look, the more positive you test that you have now, that means more players potentially would have antibodies. Well, I also think that I just want to see not a high number. I don't want to see those numbers, those infection rates rising. And I saw the infection rate in the state of Oregon at more than double of what it was a couple of weeks ago. That's not good. That's not a good trend. And it's the one thing you need to know. I'm taking the positives, though, at Notre Dame and Wisconsin in particular. Again, two halves in the college football world. Pay attention to that as you see the data kind of roll out. Because I think we're going to see haves and have-nots sort of divert from each other as you see the testing go on. And I think ultimately what we will have is some college football programs that just aren't able to test that have massive outbreaks 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks into the season. Good luck trying to keep college athletes in a bubble. Christine Sinclair, pro athlete, lot to lose, sounds mature. By the way, the most seasoned player, is that a nice way to say the oldest? The most seasoned player on the Thorns roster? Very mature outlook. And I am with her. I never made coffee at home before this. I always used to drink it at Starbucks. Now I'm making my own coffee. Sorry, Starbucks. I just feel like that's one little way, one little thing that I have to do. All right, coming up, 1 o'clock hour. It will be fast moving. It will include a guest from Los Angeles who will talk about Chip Kelly and the UCLA football program. I promise.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.